All right, thank you for the good message and song. Appreciate that. That's a good favorite right there. And it makes you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us so being undeserving, like the Bible says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing that song was. Thank you for that, Brother Cruz. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Colossians, if you would, please. Colossians chapter number 3 is where we'll go this morning for a look at a few verses together. And we'll talk about the word normal this morning, and we'll see a word kin to it in the passage as we read together here in Colossians chapter number 3. This summer I was preaching for a pastor that I love to hear preach and was down visiting his church on a Wednesday. Well, actually it was a Tuesday evening, I guess, special service. And Don Strange, he's preached here many times, and he was talking about how two fellows were having a conversation, talking about the meanings of words and how some words, you know, mean the same thing. And that's what one fellow was saying. He's like, you know, some words, they're different words, but they mean the same thing, like the word complete and the word finish. It's the same thing. And the other fellow says, no, you got that really wrong. There's a lot of difference between those two words. For example, if a man marries the right woman, she completes him. He's complete. But if a man marries the wrong woman, he's finished. He said, and furthermore, if the right woman finds that man with the wrong woman, he's completely finished. So words do have differences in their definition, and we can learn that. And the words in the Bible are very, very important. And I want to talk about this word normal this morning, because that's the word we use all the time and you hear used all the time. My dad just said to me a minute ago after he locked me out of the office this morning, he said, I was just doing what I normally do. And I've heard that quite a bit. It's what you normally do, but don't lock me out of the office. I met my mom a while back. My son was over visiting on a Saturday, and she had to run to the grocery store. She had to go do something, and he was upstairs playing a game on the computer, and when she left, she did what she normally did. She set the alarm in the house. So a few minutes later, here comes my son walking down the stairs, and woo, 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 woo. Here goes the alarm off. But she was just doing what she normally does. And sometimes that's what we find ourselves doing. Let's look and see what the scripture has to say about this subject this morning. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members. The therefore, of course, being there stating this truth, applying a truth because of the previous truth that's been stated here. Mortify therefore, because we're going to appear with Christ in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Did you see in the middle of that verse number 5, you have that word, or almost to the middle there, towards the end, I guess, inordinate affection. That's what I want to look at, is defining that word for us this morning in Scripture, and then defining what is normal in Scripture this morning from this particular passage for us that are believers in Christ Jesus. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time to assemble this morning. Thank you for the good singing that we heard. Thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God, your Holy Scripture, the words that you've given us, Father. Thank you for that opportunity. Help us not to take it lightly to open this up this morning. I pray that at the same time we open our Bibles, that we'll open our hearts and open our ears, open our minds to your truth and to your message this morning. Father, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole reason we have hope, the whole reason we have salvation, the whole reason we have a future in eternity is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, may we pay him tribute this morning. May we lift his name up. May we praise him. May we point all men to him this morning. Father, will you help us do that? And we'll thank you together in Jesus' name. Amen. The word inordinate, I'll define it for you quickly. If you use a Webster's Dictionary, I think we could even define it off the top of our heads, but if you want to go real technical about it, define it in its context, define it in a Webster's Dictionary, an old Webster's Dictionary, basically the word inordinate means not normal. It means out of the ordinary. Inordinate means unrestrained in conduct, unrestrained in feelings, disorderly, out of order, uncontrolled, not within proper or reasonable limits, immoderate, excessive. Like an example, he drank an inordinate amount of wine. Not ordinary, way over the top. That would be like what the Bible says, being drunk, being filled with wine, wherein is excess, like it says in Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe today after church is over and we're dismissed and we go home, maybe we'll eat an inordinate amount of lunch. I don't know. Sometimes it works that way, especially on Sunday, for Sunday dinner. But we want to talk about the word normal and what it means. You know, today we live in a time where the world wants to define what normal is. And the problem is that most of us and most people alive on planet Earth, that we go along with what the world says normal is. We want to act normal. We want to be looked at and viewed as normal. We don't want anybody to say to somebody else, hey, that person over there is not normal. He's just something not normal about him. There's something not normal about her. I don't know. What does the world call normal? So many things. They say live for yourself. Be true to yourself. You know, we will define what's socially acceptable and what's socially non-acceptable. And the world does that. And it's amazing if you can just see the contradictions in the world, because you can see what the world says is normal today and see what the world says was normal, oh, not that many years ago. And you can see a great contradiction there, can't you? The world is all the time, their definition of normal is changing. It's like that verse in Ephesians 5:12. It's real close, but I'll just read it to you real quick, where it says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The Bible says it's a shame. You know what they do now in the world? They just put those things on TV. They make TV programs about it. They create scenarios and situations where those things actually are exalted. And what used to be considered not normal or shameful, now is they're trying to put it forth as being normal and acceptable. It's a crazy thing. It's a slippery slope, because the world keeps changing its definition. And by the way, understand this. Too many believers today let the world or something, maybe the old world or the current world, they let that define what's normal to them, when we have a book that's supposed to tell us what's normal. What God says is normal. I'll talk about that. That's basically going to be my message this morning. I used this example before when I was giving a devotion last summer, I think it was. There was a TV show. I didn't watch it. I bet somebody in here watched an episode of it just because it was on TV. You watch what's on TV sometimes, which is unfortunate. But there was a TV show that came out, I think maybe in 2012, and the name of it was The New Normal. You know what the TV show was about? It was about two gay dads and a baby mama, all making it through life together. Well, unfortunately for them, the TV show was canceled after one season in April 2012. Y'all must not have tuned into it, I guess. I don't know. Or if you're a Nielsen family or however that goes. Yet, that's what the world wants to tell you is normal. Two gay dads and a baby mama. That's the new family. No, that's not a family. That might be what the world says is a family, but the world has a different idea than what the Bible has. So who are you going to go with? Who are you going to side with? We know the Bible says let God be true, and every TV show a liar, right? The definition of inordinate, not normal, out of the ordinary. Well, the way we see what normal is we go to the Word of God. We go to what thus saith the Lord is. You can go to a person that you admire or respect, and that's all fine and good. I'm sure we have good influences in our life, and praise the Lord for that. But just go straight to the source. Don't go through a middleman. Middleman charges you more money, right? Go straight to the source. Get the best deal possible. Go right to what God's Word says, and God will tell us what normal is. Well, I see normal here in Colossians chapter 3, and there's many other places we could go, but I can look at this passage, and I can see what God says normal is. Normal. And I want to show you a couple things from the passage this morning. First of all, let's look at verse number 4. I like this. I think this is very, very interesting and something that's been sung about this morning and even talked about some in Sunday school this morning. The Bible says when Christ is the focus, Christ is the one that our affections are supposed to be set upon, Christ is our life, this passage tells us. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You know what the Bible says normal is? The Bible says normal is living your life here on earth in anticipation and in readiness for Christ's soon return. Now, when I say soon return, I'm speaking of that word we use often to help us understand things, and that's that word rapture. When I pastored in Georgia for 3 years, and when I used the word rapture, sometimes they thought that meant you picked up something that was too heavy. Rupture. I'm just kidding, okay? Took you a while to get that, by the way. There's a difference between the two, though. Praise God. Rapture is speaking in the Bible of our gathering together under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's a gathering time. It's when Christ appears and he gathers those that belong to him. 1 Corinthians 15 says that. 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about our gathering together unto him. So many other places in Scripture. That is a sure coming event is what that is. It is just as sure as if it happened 10,000 years ago. In fact, let me just say better than that, as if it happened 10 years ago, because most of us don't know what went on 10,000 years ago. If it happened 10 years, it's a sure event, just like it was past history. That's how sure it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear in the clouds and gather those that belong to him to himself. Now, take that normality of what the Bible says is normal for a believer to be expecting the return and the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you take that to the world today, what would they say about it? They say, that's crazy. I mean, they make all kinds of crazy TV shows and movies and everything else. But what the Bible says is crazy is what they would say. If you let it be known in the world that you believed in the soon appearing or the rapture of the church to end this age, if you let the world know that you believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to return and a supernatural event was going to take place and you were going to leave this earth to be with him, they would say you're crazy.
That's right.
At some point in the future, they'd probably want to give you a prescription for something. They'd probably want you to go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor or go on a talk show or something like that, and they'd want you to either be berated or counseled or influenced to change your mind and not believe that silliness anymore. We know what the Bible says, it's going to happen. I can think of a couple passages. In fact, I can go to my right, like two pages, and I can get to 1 Thessalonians 4. You can do it if you want. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that belong to Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, but their physical life has ended, they rise first. They're 6 feet further down. They need a head start. Verse 17, "Then we, the ones that are alive when Christ returns, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together." There's a catching up right there. "With them in the clouds." Not on a mountain, not in a particular location on earth. Christ doesn't come down to earth. This is not his second coming. This is his glorious appearing. "We meet him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's the rapture. I can go back two pages in my Bible to Colossians chapter 3, and I can look at verse number 20 and verse number 21. Colossians 3, 20 and 21, Paul giving doctrine to these people at Philippi and explaining to them the importance. In verse 20, talks about that for our conversation, the life we live here on earth. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. A believer in Philippi in that day, Paul said, you're supposed to be looking for the Savior. Guess what a believer in Haines City or in America today in 2014 is supposed to be doing? Looking for the Savior. Why? In verse 21, he's going to come, he's going to appear, who shall change our vile body, that's the body we presently sport, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, the one he presently has, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That is the rapture. That is that moment, that twinkling of an eye, what occurs, what happens with both the dead in Christ and those that are alive when he returns, that 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. That is a sure, soon event that will happen. I hope you are ready for the rapture. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? Is he your focus? Not just your focus, but is he your life? Not just your life, but is he your eternity? Are you in him? Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know what the Bible says normal is? You know what? God himself, the creator of all things, and without him was not anything made that was made, the one that preexisted every created being, the one that preexisted every creative thing that you can see with your physical eyes, or the things that we can't see with our physical eyes. You know what he says? He says it's normal for us to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's normal to be anticipating, being eager, not anxious, eager for the rapture, for his glorious appearing. Guess what happens when he appears? Guess what happens when we're gathered together with him? Verse 4 says, we're going to appear with him in glory. Christ has glory. He has it now. He has glory that is coming to him. That'll be recognized. Guess what? We get to appear in that. We get to be part of that. We actually are part of his glory. And he'll fill his creation with those that belong to him. What a blessing that is to know that. Are you looking for the rapture this morning? If you're not, that's not normal. That's not normal. You're out of order. That's inordinate. No. If you're looking for the rapture, if you're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's normal. Praise God for that. Let's look at some more stuff here. There's more here in Colossians 3 that we can get to this morning, but let's try to see a couple more things. Look at verse number 2. Verse number 2, Colossians 3, verse number 2. For ye are, I'm sorry, not verse number 2, I'm reading verse number 3. Verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, this is very easy, is it not? What does the world say today? What does the world preach today? I'll read it to you, okay? I'll even read it to you from the Bible. They say, set your affections on things on the earth. If you have enough things on the earth, we'll profile you about it. We'll make it known. We'll publicize it. We'll do a story on you in the newspaper. We'll send a reporter to you. Or we'll do a TV show and we'll show what you have and what you've done with what you have. We'll give your story. Maybe we'll take your story and we'll put it in print, how you came from this lowly beginning and how you have what you have now. Oh, what a great rags to riches story. And now you've accomplished everything there is to accomplish. You must be the happiest person. That's what the world will do. But there's a whole lot of emptiness behind all that. Some of the people that they think should be the happiest people are some of the most miserable, some of the most empty, some of the most unhappy, and you see it all the time. I mean, what was it? Was it last week? Was it last Sunday? And I'm not glorying in this a bit. It's very sad, but you have some Emmy Award winning or whatever the actors win when they're good, when they do a good job acting. An award winning actor that, you know, he's in these big movies that are very popular and all that kind of stuff, and yet they find him in his apartment, alone, except for his heroin needle stuck in his arm, dead, graveyard dead. That's sad. Yet that man probably had a bunch of zeros in his bank account with some good numbers in front of those zeros. I bet he had a lot. I bet he had the prospect of having some big paychecks there in the very near future. He had everything, right? No. He was trying to inject something into himself because he thought something was missing in his life. And he did the wrong thing, and it ended, it extinguished his physical life, and there he has kids without a father now, and all those sad things that come when life is cut tragically short. Yet if you walk after the flesh, you shall die, the Bible says. If you let the flesh be the boss, if the flesh is in charge, then the flesh leads to corruption and destruction is what the Bible says. We're not supposed to sow to our flesh, because of the flesh we'll reap corruption. The scripture tells us that. So what does the Bible say is normal? The world says it's normal. Normal to live for yourself. Toot your own horn because nobody else is going to toot it. You know, look out for yourself and worry about yourself. And it's all about you. That's what be true to yourself, all that jazz. No, the Bible says set your affections on things above. On things above. Don't look at what's down here, because what down here is temporary. Do you know that what is down here will not be here in 1,500 years? It won't be here. 1,500 years is a long time. No, it's not really that long of a time. No, not if you look at the grand scheme of eternity. and of existence in God. No. I mean, the best, I mean, and that's even a generous estimation this morning. No, the greatest things we can look on planet Earth is not going to be here in 1,500 years. It's not. It's going to be remade and redone. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and all these things that we think are great is going to be gone. They're going to melt with a fervent heat, as the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3. And I can say a whole lot more about that. So why are we setting our affections on these things? Okay, maybe I'm out of order by talking about 1,500 years. Maybe that's too much for us to comprehend. What about this? What about in 60 years, all the things that we think are important aren't going to be important to us anymore because we won't be here for them, all right? We won't be here for them. Hardly anybody in here, maybe a few, 60, 70 years, we'll still be here to enjoy those things that we might live our life for today and tomorrow. They're going to be history. And if they are still going to be around, they'll belong to somebody else. Do you want to leave all that to somebody else to abuse and not use properly? Setting our affections on things above takes our attention and our obsession off the things down here that are just temporary parts of human life. We are to view the things that last forever. Not the temporary, but the eternal. That's what we are to think about right now. That's what we are to live about right now. Setting our affections on things above. You know, the world calls normal wanting to have all these material goods and wanting to have it so your kids can hate each other and fight over it in years to come. I remember that example. I gave it one time before for devotion, but every day a man used to walk by a jewelry store. This is back in the good old days, okay? Back when the world wasn't as bad as it is now, but it's still pretty bad. Every day a man used to walk by a jewelry store. He used to stop and set his watch by the big grandfather clock in the window, storefront window. Well, one day the jeweler happened to be standing in the doorway of the store, and he greeted the man in a friendly way and said, "I see you set your watch by my clock. What kind of work do you... Or what kind of work do you do that demands such correct time each day?" The man replied, "I'm the watchman at the plant down the street, and my job is to blow the 5 o'clock whistle." Well, then the jeweler was startled. He says, "But you can't do that," he blurted out. "I set my clock by your whistle." You know, that's what the world calls normal men basing things on themselves and other men. I was doing it because you do it. Well, he was doing it because I was doing it. And we think that's normal. That's not what normal is, according to the Bible. No, setting our affections on things above, that's what is normal. It's like that old sailor. His sailing days had really kind of passed him by, but he didn't want to give them up. And he was getting lost at sea all the time. So his friends that had to come rescue him all the time, they gave him a compass, a new compass, and urged him to use it. Well, the next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and he took the compass with him. But unfortunately, as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land, got lost again. Finally, as he was rescued by his friends, they were kind of disgusted and fed up with him. They asked, "Why didn't you use that compass that we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." Well, the old sailor responded. He says, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make the needle aim in that direction, it just kept pointing southeast." The old sailor thought he knew what true north was, and even though the compass told him it wasn't, he just kept pressing it and following. And that's what we do in our flesh. We think, "Oh, I know that's most important up there. But boy, just seems so important down here. Lord, don't you think this is important too? Don't you think I should grab some more of this or get a little more of that? And isn't it okay for my affections to be on these things, Lord?" And yet we're like the old sailor getting lost at sea all the time because we're not following the Lord's direction. We're not looking the right direction. We're not setting our affection on things above. Well, I see that here in the passage. What God says is normal is looking for the rapture. And right along with that, number two, God says it's normal for us to set our affection on things above. If God has made us his heavenly people, how many understand that's what the Bible says he's made us in Christ Jesus? The church, the new creature, the new man, all those terms that the Bible uses. God has made himself a heavenly people for that part of the glory and inheritance. If that's the case, then don't you think that even while we're here on earth, he wants us to live with that calling in view? We press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? Philippians says, I believe it is. Well, that's what this passage is telling us is normal. Well, let's look at one more thing that's normal this morning. A third thing that I see, and that's in verse 1. Verse number 1. And maybe I could just say quickly, with eternity in view, this is the most important subject to be normal about. Verse number 1, look at it. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible says right now Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Where is that location? Well, it's above. It's way above. We can look at other verses and find out it's in the third heaven and above, all that realm that only God can ascend to. He is the most high God. Nothing above him. Everything's below him. Everything's been placed under Christ's feet, the Bible tells us. So everything's below him in rank and order and in authority. But that first part of the verse is what I want to look at. If ye then be risen with Christ. So if I take that term, being risen with Christ, what does that mean? And let me simply define that for you this morning in the context of Scripture. He's talking to people that are saved. Believers in Christ Jesus, they are no longer in their sin. They are no longer going to, at their day of death or day of judgment, face the penalty of their sin. But now, they're no longer in themselves and in their sin. They're in Christ Jesus. They've trusted in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They realize that when God intervened in mankind and left heaven and came down to earth, like the Christmas story partially tells us about the virgin-born babe of God and how he lived that perfect life that no other man had lived, and he took that perfect life just over the age of 33 years, and he laid it down for a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, where he was put to death in the flesh, shed his divine sinless blood, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what that means. You're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in yourself to fix all your failures, not in yourself to right all your wrongs, but trusting in another to give you salvation and forgiveness. If ye then be risen with Christ, because the Bible explains at the moment of salvation, at the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then God spiritually does something to you, and he places you in Christ Jesus. Christ is up here. So you know what that means? That means you're risen with Christ. No longer in yourself, no longer in your sin, but now you've been taken from death unto life, and you're joined to the Lord by his Spirit. It's a spiritual transaction. You can't necessarily see it with your eyes, but you know it with your heart, you know it with your understanding and your mind, and you're in Christ Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places, the Scripture tells us. That's being saved. That's being risen with Christ. So the third thing, and the most important thing I'd venture to say this morning, that is normal according to God's word, according to the Most High God's authority, is you need to be saved. It's normal to be saved. You know what the world tells you how to measure normal? Well, let's see how many people are doing this and how many people are doing that. And if we're with the majority, then we must be normal. Well, I would venture to say on planet Earth today, what is it, like 7 billion people or something like that? Probably the majority are not in Christ Jesus. That's probably how it is today. The majority are not believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. The majority of people on planet Earth today have rejected what God's word has to say to them. So can I tell you that being in the majority is not normal? Being in the majority is not a safe place, but a sad place to be today. No, we need to be in line with what God's word says. That's where it's safe. That's where it's secure. That's wherein you can be saved from yourself and from your sin and all those outside influences that the world brings us today. No, being risen with Christ is so important. Being in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in verse 3. For ye are dead, physically speaking. No longer are you alive to yourself, to your sin, but ye are dead. Oh, there's a lot of doctrinal truth there. You've been placed in Christ's death. And Christ tasted death for every man, the Bible tells us. So now his death is sufficient for your death. The death that you deserve to die because of your sin, Christ died it for you. So you've been placed in him. So you're dead now. Our body is dead to us, is what it says. That's what it means. So for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm so thankful for that. When God's judgment comes around, when God's judgment on sin, and a holy God has to judge filthy wickedness like sin, when that judgment comes, when it comes time for judgment, I'll be hid safe and secure in Christ Jesus, who already took the judgment for my sin, who already went through the fire so I don't have to. What a blessing it is to see this. Oh, there's so much. I didn't even read all of verse number 5 for you, but the world tells you today that this is normal to have fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection, having affection about things that aren't ordinary, aren't right, aren't normal. Evil concupiscence, and I've talked about that word so many times. That's all manners of fleshly lust, and the word cupid is almost in that word concupiscence, if you see it there, and that means being lust struck or being, you know, hit like a wave and some fleshly desire overcomes you. Concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, that's what the world says is normal. And if you go home and turn your TV on after church today, guess what you can find on there? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, and idolatry. You'll find it everywhere you look, almost on every channel. That's what the world is telling us is normal, 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 normal. The Bible says, mortify your members that are given to that. You're dead in Christ. What does a mortician do? He deals with dead things. That's what he does. You know what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus, and now our life is tied to God above? We're supposed to deal with this old flesh that wants to do wrong. We're supposed to deal with it like a mortician would deal with a dead body he's having to work with. He's not going to take orders from the dead body. He ain't going to find out what the dead body wants to wear or whatever else. He's not going to ask how the dead body wants his hands folded or whatever it is on the memorial service. No, he just does it the way he knows how to do it or the way he's been instructed to do it. And he just deals with that thing like you deal with a dead thing. And he probably takes precaution. Kind of makes my skin crawl, does it not? He probably, you know, doesn't touch it with his own skin. He probably uses gloves or uses whatever procedures that are there. And he deals with it like that, probably with a grimace on his face the whole time. That's how I would do it anyway. That's how we're supposed to deal with our flesh. That's how we're supposed to live out our earthly life. Like the Bible tells us, that we mortify our members. Yeah, these things that are in this verse can be found in desires in our flesh. Did you know that? Even as saved people, you can still have wrong, sinful desires in your flesh because your body of flesh is the seat of sin and sin operates there. So you've got to deal with it carefully and cautiously, and you've got to reckon that thing to be dead. Not in charge, not alive, not in the driver's seat, but way in the back seat, way in the back of the hearse where you put things like that. That's where you're supposed to place it in life. And then you follow the directions and the GPS from above, hooked up to the satellite from above. No, our life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, the world says a little religion is okay, depending on which religion it is. The world likes religion. I mean, religion is an influence. Religion will try to teach every one of us what normal is. But the problem is, the older I get and the more I study the scripture, the more contradictions I see between this book and religion. Oh, so the religion is so far down the road leaving the truth of this book right here that we got to be so careful and so cautious. And once again, don't go to religion, go straight to God. Go straight to his word. Are you risen with Christ today? Let me ask you this. Last question, okay? Last question, I'll conclude this morning. What will be normal 10,000 years from now? What will be normal 10,000 years from now? What will be normal 5,000 years from now? Is it what the world says today? Or is it what God's word says? See, this book is different than the world. The world just has a very limited view. It can look back a little bit, and it can see what's happening now. But this book, the one that wrote it, can see the whole thing when he looks. He can see the end. He can see the beginning. He can see every detail in between. And God knows all about 5,000 years from now. He knows all about 10,000 years from now. The world just comes up with assumptions and ideas, sometimes far-fetched and sometimes based a little bit on truth. What are you going to trust your eternity to? Who are you going to let tell you what normal is today, determining what normal is in the future? Oh, no, we need to go back to God's Word, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, the Word, the very words of God tell us what normal is. It tells us what God says is normal. Remember that illustration I'll conclude with this morning? I've used it on the radio. Remember the illustration about a compass again, about in the old days when it was customary for these big ships ever crossing the Atlantic, dealing with the storms and the waves and all the things that you would deal with on a trip across a big body of water like that, transatlantic trip. This certain passenger on this big ship went to the captain and he says, "I see that there's a compass down here by the helm, by the wheel of the ship, and I see that every now and then you send one of your crewmen up to the top of the mast to get a reading of such and come back down and he reports to you. What exactly is the procedure? Can you explain to me? I'm not used to these things." And the captain patiently explained. He says, "Well, we have a compass down here by the wheel." He says, "But you know, this ship's got much iron and many metal parts in it, and sometimes this compass down here is very influenced by its surroundings. So sometimes we go up to the compass that's way up on the masthead, way up high, and we get a true reading of the compass up there because it's up high and it's not influenced by things below." You know, it's the same way with us as we sail through this earthly life. Sometimes our compass will get out of whack because our circumstances, they affect us and they influence us. And we'll get a wrong reading sometimes. "I just felt like that was the right thing to do," or "I felt like this was the right way to go." No, your feelings can betray you sometimes. Yet if you look above, you'll always know the right direction to go. Setting your affections on things above, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the captain of our salvation, and he'll give you a true and right reading every time. Would you look to him? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about any religious ceremony or anything else right now. I'm talking about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, believe on him today. Accept him today. Receive what he did for you. His arms are open wide.